He says that the main way to... Should I start the sermon all over again? Or are we... The main way to measure success in a church... You know, a lot of times people talk about the ABCs of church. Anybody heard of the ABCs? There's attendance. And then there's buildings and cash, right? So how many people attend your church? How big is your building and cash? You know, that's like... And he talked about the way to measure success in a church is simply one word. It's just faithfulness, right? In a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate our 7th anniversary as a church. And to me, this is kind of what 7 is about. Now, 7 is not like this big, remarkable number. You know, 10 is... Morning, Johnny.
Morning.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good today. They have
They do?
They have else again. They're oversleeping it again.
Okay. Well, sit down. We just started, okay?
With the daddy and stuff.
All right. Doing that. So Briggs just talks about just faithfulness as the way to measure success. And again, we're going to celebrate 7 years. And, you know, we hope to go 10, maybe 20, maybe 25, 50. I don't know what this is, but just faithfulness is kind of this constant for as a way to measure success in a church. It was real helpful for me as I got to read this book, as I got to learn and listen from Briggs, just to kind of reorient ourselves about what the church is and what it should be all about. So that's the number 75, and maybe at some point we'll get to 75. If we keep having babies, the Williams might need to double down for another 2. Jesse and Leah might be in. Molly and Ronnie have yet to have about 3 or 4. Let me see who else I can call on. I know Matt and Stacy are in there.
Hey, we helped increase by 2 today.
You guys got 2? I'm going to have to change something. Okay, so we're getting really close to that. Start counting pets if we need to. So the next number is 3. You know, at the beginning of last year in our kind of morning prayer gathering, I just kind of had this simple prayer for 3 people to begin a life-changing relationship with Jesus through our church. Just 3. And I think that this was so significant for us as a church. Because now, this wasn't, I don't want you to over-spiritualize it. This wasn't the Lord like, you know, 3, the number of the Trinity, pray for 3. There wasn't anything like that. I just kind of blurted out 3. And I just started, you know, praying for it. And it wasn't like this for... We just began to pray. Cass, right? Was there anything like super special about it?
No.
Nothing super special about it. We just began to pray for 3 people to come to Jesus through our church. And again, I would just say people who have been lost, people who have been hurting, people who have been just burnt out in life. And I would say that over the last year, and I'm not going to single people out at all, but I would say over the last year, one of the greatest things that I've experienced in this church is I would say that 3 different people have come to this life-changing relationship with Jesus through our church, right? And so Cass now this year has gotten greedy and has started to pray for 6. I'm still in 3 mode. but we're just, again, I think as a church in this coming year, I just want to continue to pray for that. Again, that people who are lost, who are far from God, who don't know what it's like to live in God's kingdom, who don't know what it's like to experience God's fruit of patience, of kindness, of gentleness, of self-control, that we could find people in our neighborhood and beyond who would come to this, again, just life-changing, life-altering relationship, and that our church could have a part in that is what we're praying for this year. Have I lost anybody? We got 3 more numbers to go. Good?
Good.
Okay, the next number is 4 and 2. When we started this church back in 2011, one of the things that I thought about was, and I was at that church in Huntington Beach, and I came up here and planted the church, and I thought to myself, I don't want to just come up here and plant another church as all churches have been done. I might as well just stay at Huntington Beach and put my efforts there. So we started the church, and we had this thing called fourth groups. We met in homes. This was kind of off of Acts 2, where they would go worship together regularly at the temple each day. And then they would meet in small groups in homes for communion and share their meals with great joy and thankfulness, right? So this kind of concept that they would meet in the temple and they would meet in homes and they would meet in the temple, this rhythm. And so we started the church with these fourth groups. So we would meet, and this is what we're going to do next week, where we would meet here and we just do church as normal. We have Eucharist and usually music and teaching and fellowship and coffee and all those sorts of things. And then we meet in people's homes, right? This kind of builds that real community aspect It strengthens relationships between people. And we just have been doing this for years. But this, over the years, as we've launched it, attempted it, struggled through it, we've had triumphs and changed and adjusted and tinkered. We, as a board, we've been thinking that we still haven't quite found the secret sauce for our fourth groups, right? They are still, like, I would say, like, we still have a lot of growth in this area. So we are going to revamp them this year or try something new this year, okay? Now, here's why. I hope you guys can all read these numbers. I'm sure they're... So what we did, one of the problems that we had with our fourth groups at the first couple of years, so let's say this is 2017, so let's track back a year. So here's January, and we would do church, 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 fourth group, right? And then we would do fifth Sunday, serve Sunday. Well, what would happen is when we would do fourth group here and fifth Sunday, serve Sunday, it would be 3 weeks between the last time we would gather all together as a church, right? So this kind of back-to-back combo just felt like, man, it just kind of makes our church feel a little bit disjointed, and just kind of we miss seeing one another in a big group. So then what we did is we said, okay, church, 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 anytime that there's this fifth Sunday in the month when we go serve, what it will instead do is we'll meet together here at the church, and we'll have a picnic or some sort of a community activity afterwards, and then we'll do the fifth Sunday. And so we'll just skip the fourth Sunday on these fifth Sunday months. So you can see this happens here, and it happened in April. So what would happen, though, is what we realized, though, is that we then were kind of coming at the expense of our fourth group. So say you were in a fourth group, and, if you missed this March fourth group, say you're out of town, you're sick, your family's sick, or something comes up, it could literally almost be half of a year before you would have a fourth group, right? So this was just like, man, the fourth groups just, we're losing the continuity, we're losing the rhythm of fourth groups, we're just losing this time meeting together in the fourth groups. So we're thinking about how can we change fourth groups to still, because this serving is a big priority in our church. Jesus says that the way to greatness is to serve, right? Jesus says that serving, the Son of Man came to serve, so we look at Jesus' model and we find that serving is very important, whether it's at Brookdale or here or somewhere out throughout the neighborhood. So we want to continue to serve on those fifth Sundays. But then we wanted to continue to incorporate our fourth group. So one of the ideas was, well, why don't we just do it on the second Sunday? Okay, so here's another calendar for 2018. So here we are, January 21st. So here in February, we're going to just do normal, normal, normal. And then we're going to have our seventh anniversary celebration here at the end of February, right? And then we're going to, in March, we're going to begin fourth groups on the second Sunday. Now, we're still looking for some creative name, so we're open for suggestions in our suggestion box. Right now, I'm using either second Sunday or the shared second because people just got together and they shared things on the second, they shared on the Sunday. So we're trying to work through that. But we realize that there is no secret committee behind the church that's holding us to the fourth Sunday, and we're actually free to change things if we want to change things, right? Sometimes there's that great scene in Chariots of Fire where there's this big argument about, can he run in the race or can't he run in the race, and they're like, they have this realization that they are the committee and that they make the rules, right? That's why this is a shareholder meeting, and we are the committee, and we make the rules, where it's not like, ooh, the fourth Sunday. So we're going to say, hey, let's just try it on the second Sunday for this year, right? And now, obviously, we have a lot more green, right? So now we're going to have this consistent meeting all throughout the year. We're going to have this rhythm. This is a big deal. I think there's a lot of growth and a lot of change and a lot of strengthening that happens in these fourth groups. And again, if you go back to 2017, this paradigm just didn't quite click, I don't feel like. You with me on that? So here's what I'm going to do with this too. So if you want, oops, I want you to take a look at that. You're going to have a lot of, not a lot, but there's a few things. There's a few things that we're going to kind of pass out this morning, so I think everybody should have a pen somewhere around them. One of the things we decided to, and this was, by the way, this was our board kind of coming together, so a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is decisions that our church board is debating. I have this little handout for you, and it says 2018 Second Sunday. And so I'd like you to just put your name at the top. And then if you're interested in hosting or leading, and by that hosting, now look, we got a lot of green circles on that calendar. If you're interested in hosting, it would probably be about a half of a year commitment. It would probably be about 6 Sundays. So if you want to host, it wouldn't be a full-time, hey, everybody's got to be here, or I got to host. That's a lot of responsibility. We're going to try and share that responsibility. Or if you're interested in leading a fourth group, oh man, second Sunday. If you're interested in leading kind of one of these home groups that we have, facilitating the dialogue, the scripture reading that we do in homes, you can check that as well. And then we also try and just like to put folks in groups with other folks that they like. And so we're going to look at all these together as a board and try and make all these decisions. So if you would like to be in a group with somebody, there's a couple of places you can just write down their names. If you don't want to be in a group with somebody, you can write their name backwards and we'll just... Here, let's see.
Wink.
Williams backwards. S-M-I-L-L-I-W.
Smiley.
I was thinking about that. Like, what if somebody just didn't want to be in a group? Could they write their... and then if there would be a convenient time for you or night, I know we've tried like a Saturday night group. It doesn't quite seem to work, but I know that there's at least one family in our church that would really be beneficial for, but it's, but if there'd be a convenient time, our group is convenient with 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. I know there's some that meet at 10. So there's those two things, or those couple things. So I'm going to just pass these out. And there's one last thing is our church camping trip that we took up to, Kings Canyon last year was so remarkable that we're putting another one on the calendar. And there's just two dates that we're kind of looking at the end of July. So there's one on July 9th. It's both our Thursday through Monday. July 19th through 23rd or July 26th through 30th. So we're trying to get those because we need to reserve that by the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think by somewhere like that. Yeah, we need to reserve it.
The end of this month would be 6 months.
Are we going to do 2 a year?
No, just one. Two what?
Beginning of summer, end of summer?
No, we're just going to go to Kings Canyon one time. Yeah. So if you have, and if you just have a preference on one of those dates, I don't know if anybody has their e-calendars in front of them, or you don't have to fill this out, but we're just trying to get a consensus if we can figure out a better date. Okay, I think that's all I got about that. Can I pass these out? Can you fill these out? And then why don't you face them? Why don't you place them face down right by the offering box on the way out? That way, if anybody has written a name backwards. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Right. Right. The Memorial Day weekends,
Christmas,
Thanksgiving, a lot of the holiday weekends that we. So yeah, we're going to give it a whirl. The church is the R&D department for the Christian faith, so we just get to...
Is this a sleeping son?
Hear me some load. I thought he was in Habitat.
No, he's back. I saw his Facebook.
Oh, he's back? Okay.
No, I think we all know his costume
on
Facebook.
That did seem a little bit Okay, let me share one other thing about fourth groups. Second Sunday, shared second?
Home groups.
Home groups. Let me share one other thing about this. When we were doing our series on Eat It, and we were eating our kind of way through all the meals in Luke's gospel, and we came to the section where he's at the fair... He's at the... Was that him?
Yeah, it's him.
Okay. When he's at the Pharisee's house. And Jesus says to go... when you throw a banquet, don't throw it for your neighbors and your relatives and your friends and people who can repay you. Throw it for the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And we did this whole teaching. And then we talked about reciprocity that morning. And we talked about how so many things in the church are just kind of done for just payback, reciprocal payback. And then Tim Chester, in his commentary, he had this one little section of sections. And this one little phrase has really, really bothered me since we did this teaching back in November. And I want to put it up on the board because this is something that ties in. You know, as Chester talked about, are most of the activities in your church just kind of to stay within your church, right? And then he says, if you audit the activities of your church, he says, are your home groups doing adventurous mission together or offering a cozy support group? And that statement so bothered me because I would say that a lot of times our home groups are just can kind of be these cozy support groups where we just get together and we kind of navel gaze and we just say, okay, and smile. And there is a real challenge for me would be like, what if, and our board was talking about this, what if our home groups then got together and did some adventurous mission together, right? If they got together and it wasn't just like, hey, let's just, you know. So I want to challenge, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to challenge each home group. Because now that we're meeting 12 times a year, you could go once or twice a year and go do this and just say, okay, look, we're just going to go serve together as a small group. We're just going to go do some adventurous mission together as a small group. So here's just some examples of something that you could do as a home group or a shared second. Like, what if you just said, hey, let's just take our group and just go, again, just go to Brookdale and go maybe organize a craft or go pray with them, or just have presence with them, bring your children and just be with them. If you got little kids and maybe there's a lot of kids in your home group or shared second, and you just went to the park or you went to the neighborhood or you did the beach cleanup and let your kids run around and pick up trash and just said, hey, let's make this place beautiful. The Bolsa Chica Wetlands, I think, Nikki, you suggested that, is a wonderful place to walk around, and there's always something to clean up or help out there. There's Precious Life Shelter, which is right here in Los Alamitos, and that's a homeless, pregnant women's shelter. And we've done some work with them in the past, not recently, but we've done some work with them in the past, and that could be, hey, let's get together and just make them. I think when we went there, Rob, we made them a meal and made a big breakfast for these women who are at this shelter. Elliot has this wonderful idea and has great memories too of doing a laundromat ministry where you would
just go with quarters and, you know, strike up conversations with people that are doing their laundry. Usually they're, you know, not the highest up on the social scale. Strike up conversations with them and engage.
Yeah.
And kind of break down those class barriers that might exist.
So there's laundromat ministry, quarters, pizza, drinks, whatever. You can just go hang out at the laundromat. And then we've had this relationship with the Long Beach Rescue Mission, I would say, over the past year through one of the young men who has kind of come into our church. And this is the adventurous part, right? Because the Long Beach Rescue Mission is kind of a pretty tough place. And so we're talking about what if we went there and did some serving there, or if you and your fourth group went and did some serving there. Now to go serve there, because I think it would be great for us to go, as my time to have been there, going back and forth and seeing what they're doing there, they are doing some amazing work with some of the, some really, some different, I guess just some different people, right? Some really challenging people. But what they're doing at the rescue mission is just phenomenal work. And to go actually serve there, you need to go through training to go serve there. Now, the way that this training works is they can train someone in our church who then could train us and kind of authorize us as trained individuals. Am I saying that right? More or less? So Cass, who's had a really strong relationship with the Long Beach Rescue Mission, has done the training, and he's going to offer a 5 to 10 minute, or about 10 minute training, which would then, we would be trained, so then we could, as a fourth group or a shared group, we could then go to the Long Beach Rescue Mission and serve a meal, or...
I'll talk to that.
You'll talk about that. Okay. Do you need any more introduction? Do you want to do the video first?
Yeah, you load up the video while I...
Okay.
Pastor Brian will pass out some information. Well, Long Beach Rescue Mission, by the way, is not in Barstow. Yeah, I am quite touched, as probably many of you were a few weeks ago, when Eric gave his, how do you call that, beneficial, being a person who's, what's the word?
Beneficiary?
Huh? No, the, when you give. What's that called? What's that called?
Benevolence.
Benevolence, thank you, yeah. Anyway, out of that, you get not only a sense of fulfillment, but you get practical things happen to you, too. And that's was brought out through his statistics that he brought up. And that kind of giving can be determined another way. Of course, giving to the financial offer, but also giving your time and your energy and supporting nonprofit groups such as Long Beach Rescue Mission. Maybe bring up that slide first.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A couple of passages in the Bible have talked to me in the last year. You know, you see homeless on the street, and a lot of them are druggies, a lot of them are criminals, a lot of them have mental health issues, and that's true. You don't want to take them into your home, you can buy them a meal maybe. If you throw money out the window, you're not sure how it gets used, can be used to support their drug habit or whatever. So, but we should do something, is what God is telling me. And I came across these two passages. One's in Ezekiel 16:49. Says, "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy." Now, for years, I limited my thought about Sodom and Gomorrah to their sexual sin especially, but I didn't come. I came across this verse, and I said, oh, so part of their sinful activity was not considering the poor and needy. And of course, you're familiar with the story of Lazarus and the rich man, where Lazarus was a beggar who sat outside the rich man's home, who was well-fed, living in luxury, and he neglected to care for this beggar right outside his door. So a couple of things like that struck me that God is very concerned about the needy and then works through us to assist them. How do we do that? We need to do it in structured ways where we do it in a safe environment. Like I say, you don't want to bring them into your home because you've got young kids, for example, although I have. But that was another interesting situation. But we'll talk more about what practically is a possibility for service for our small group. So with that, we'll do a short video, and I'll talk a little bit more and give you the training.
People first walk through our doors, they're lost, broken, nobody loves them, nobody cares, not sure what to say, and pretty fearful of.
What's fascinating is Cass sent me that video, and I'm watching the video, and the one woman in there, her name was Tatiana, and I'm like, man, she is in my apprentice experience program in Kansas, and we're getting our master's degree together, and she is, brilliant, and she has this whole history, obviously, of drugs and everything. I'm like, well, that's Tatiana. And I'm going to see her again just in a few weeks in March. We're doing our last gathering together. I'm like watching this video, just this total coincidence. Here's my friend Etiana. And now she's, again, incredible life change for her. And I grew up, I don't know if a lot of you guys know, I grew up in a drug and alcohol rehab center. My dad was a pastor. So I grew up living amongst about 200 men who are kind of going through drug and alcohol rehab. It's probably, you know, just part of my story, and so it's to being the being with the least of these, which Jesus calls us to do, and as Brian, you said, it's so rewarding. It's the rewards that you get from being with the least of these, which is so important. So
yeah, well, my life so far is maybe my thing. Hopefully, it'll be my top.
Yeah,
not like my beautiful wife and everything.
Come on.
Spiritually, like, my connection with God and just, like, fulfillment, not for money, but just the time spent. We don't know whether it's going to be good or bad, but we know it's good because God's in control of it.
And that's what matters.
Every day, he's trying to do the best. There's boundaries and stuff, but God gives the answers.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I would do it.
Okay, we got time for two more numbers. I'll go by these real quick. This is actually a lot of numbers, to be honest, so this is one that didn't make it. We just talked about finances this week. This is just a week for us to talk about finances of the church. So here's what's in our checking accounts and our savings accounts. The checking is just kind of the everyday. Everything kind of comes out of that. So, I mean, right under $15,000 is where we've been as a church. So there's about $11,000 in our checking and about $3,000 in, so actually $14,000. My wife's the math teacher, sorry about that, in our bank accounts. That's just where our bank accounts are at right now. And then I'll show you just kind of a year-to-year comparison. This actually just goes to November, the beginning of November, so we're just a little bit behind on this. All of our finances are done by my sister-in-law, who was an accountant for, what was the company she worked for? KPMG? She did accounting for a couple different firms, and so she's got all that number stuff. I just give her all the stuff, and she knows what to do. So if you want to look, this is 2016. This is 2017. I know that the numbers are a little hard to see, and I can always email this to anybody who wants to see this. This is our tithes and offerings. So last year we took in about $34,000. This year we were at $36,000. There's been a little bit more income on that. So we've gone up a little bit on our income this year. We had a really generous gift. Somebody donated a trailer to our church, which we end up selling, so we made about $5,000 on that. So there was a little bit of a bonus in that. And this is just kind of all of our expenses. So rec hall, paying rec hall workers, people who help run this rec hall facility, the things that help kind of keep this actual facility running that the city's allowed us to use. So that's the rec hall expenses. So here's the giving. Here's a big number for our church. I always say that this, to me, is our bottom line. Is are we increasing in our giving this year? Now, again, this doesn't include the $2,000 that we gave away at Christmas time just to redistribute to those who are in need. So we were actually, I would say, down a little bit on giving this year, about $500 off on giving, which I'd like to see that. Again, my kind of thing for the church is to see us increase our giving and grow in giving as a church. This is a big number, so we were down a little bit on that. Outreach expenses, bank service charges, all the really exciting stuff, computer and internet, website domains, all that sorts of stuff. Conferences and meetings, this is that apprentice experience that I've been a part of, that gathering that I've been doing a couple times a year for a week. Events, Christmas Eve, picnics, anniversaries, all that sort of stuff. Gifts, when we give gifts to different people. Honorariums. Insurance for our church, leadership development, office supplies, payroll. This is my salary right here. There's nothing to hide. I'm not ashamed of it or celebrating it. It's just what I make as a pastor, and if you ever want to know. So last year I made, or 2 years ago, I made $30,000. The board voted on a raise, so there was a little bit more. And payroll, postage, you all get letters in the mail. So there's that. And then what else we got? Resources, books, DVDs, curriculum, all those sorts of things. Service projects, Sunday morning expenses, just kind of all the normal everyday stuff that help keep Sunday mornings going. Youth ministry expenses, which I don't know why we didn't have any, but this will grow as we invest more money into the kids. We'll talk about that next week. Now, again, these numbers have not been great for us the past 2 years of the church. This number will be different because we weren't throughout the year. I'll look forward to seeing what this is, and I'll try and bring up an actual January to December and January to December and see if I can get those two things. But again, I mean, we look at it every time we get together as a board, and yeah, that's the finances for our church. We just want to be transparent with that. There's nothing to hide about our finances, and I just always want that to be. And if you ever have questions about that or want to ask any questions about the finances of our church, just go talk to the board members. Don't talk to them. You can ask me. You can ask a board member. Rob's a board member. Elliot's a board member. Nikki's a board member. Lou, who's not here, is a board member. And you can ask any of the board members or talk to us about the finances of the church. Good? Okay. Last one. Here we go. Last number is 21, because we have 21 kids back there running around in the nursery. That's how many kids we have. There's our little cubbies. And so this is a big number for us as a church. And as we think about our kids, we made a commitment as a church board that every single time we get together, we will talk about our kids and what's going on in our kids' ministry. because that has just, again, when they come out here, we're like, wait, our church just tripled because there are so many kids. So this is just such an important thing. Now, I was reading, actually, I listened to this book. It's called Faithful Presence, Seven Disciplines That Shape the Church for Mission. It was so good, I bought the book. I remember reading this one particular section, and I was going to read it, but I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing because I think I want to be a little bit more sensitive on time. He has this whole discipline about being with children, right? This just kind of discipline of just being with children. He talks about that in the ways of the kingdom. And I, as I was listening to this book, I remember this section, and I was riding my bike. I can't even tell you exactly where I was riding my bike when I heard this section. I almost fell off my bike when I read this section, or I heard this section, because it was so powerful, and it cast in me such a vision for what we want to be about with our children's ministry. So this pastor, his name's David Fitch, and in his church, what they do is they have every single person in the church, as the best that they can, serve in the kids' ministry. Right? So what happens is sometimes he gets people, and he says, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to serve in the kids' ministry. I'll read a little section. He says, we asked everyone in the church to participate in this ministry with children. There were regular teachers kind of rotating in and out. We have regular teachers that rotate in and out. But everyone was asked to participate. All adults were asked to be in the children's ministry. And he says a minimum of once every 8 weeks. They were asked to be present with our children, to know them, to be changed by them. This resulted in a community where our children could grow up recognizing Jesus, not as a purely as a historical person and doctrine, but as someone present to us in our daily lives. We recognized in this screen-crazy society, the space for his presence would never be more available with our children than during those early years. Okay, a little more. Now, it was difficult to convey to our church community that Jesus was actually present in this space with our children. One time, a member of our church community who contributed in so many ways to the life of the church approached me and said that he wished to be excused from children's ministry. We had asked everyone in the church, beginning with the leaders, to take seriously, beginning with me, the duty to be with our children. We asked everyone to sign up for no less than one Sunday every 2 months to be present with children. Doug, this guy, said to me that working with children is, quote, not my gift. Okay, anybody out there that's working with children is not their gift? Here's his response. This is where I almost fell off my bike. He says, this was not an uncommon response in our church when people were asked to go serve with kids. People could not grasp the sacramental reality that being with the children is an encounter to being with the living Christ. I'm sorry, this is the part where I almost fell off my bike. I said to Doug, being with children in our teaching ministry is not a spiritual gift. It's never mentioned in the Bible as a spiritual gift. Instead, the church brings all of its gifts to the space of ministry with children. And whoever can lower themselves to be present with a child will experience Jesus and his kingdom like nowhere else. I almost crashed into the bushes right by the Palm Lambson. Being with children in our teaching ministry is not a spiritual gift. Instead, the church brings all of its gifts into the space of ministry with children, and all who can lower themselves to be present with a child will experience Jesus and his kingdom like nowhere else. So as we think about these 21 little kids running around out there, what we are asking this year as a church, we do have one more thing to pass out. My wife has it. As I am asking, now this actually involves mainly the men, because I think most of the women in this church are actually serving or volunteering in the nursery. So I'm just putting the call out to everybody. What will happen is in the nursery, and Robin, you might be able to explain this a little bit better than me. You have a teacher, someone who's prepared the curriculum, somebody who's looked through the lesson and who's kind of going to teach the lesson. We have all new curriculum that we've started this year. It's a meta-narrative of the scripture, kind of starting from Genesis to Revelation. And so there's a teacher that's prepared the lesson. There's kind of a second helper, and their role is just helping?
No. Well, we're starting with that other person being the second helper.
Got it. So the second helper would be? First help.
Anyone who signs up.
Okay. And then we are looking, I'm sorry. And then what I'm asking is that just everybody in our church just says, yeah, I'm done. And this is me too. Okay. So there's going to be a Sunday morning when I'm going to be back there with the kids and somebody else is going to have to come preach. Okay. Jolynn. Donna. Brian?
Brian.
Brian. I mean, we got teachers here, so I want to go back there and be with kids. I want to lower, I mean, again, I want to be present with children and I want to experience Jesus and his kingdom through their eyes. Is what I want to do. Okay. This matters to us as a church. We have 21 little souls running around in there that matter to us as a church. And this is an experience for us. So I'm asking everybody in the church, and this isn't policy. Nobody's going to chase you down and break this clipboard over your head if you don't sign up. But I want to set the vision for our church that we would be the kind of people that would go experience Jesus and his kingdom amongst those 21 little kids. You with me on that? Okay, so I'm going to pass. This is my last pass around, and we're going to close now. What I'm going to do as this passes around, I'm going to ask you just to turn to a couple people around you. And this might be a little uncomfortable for you, so just kind of get ready for this. I'm going to ask you again. Sometimes we end our services with singing, and we don't have that this morning unless Donna has really considered doing the karaoke. I'm just going to ask you to turn to a couple people around you, and we're just going to pray for the church, okay? And we'll spend, it's 11:10, we'll spend the next 3 or 4 minutes doing this. This isn't like, you know, don't overthink it. Here's what I'd like you to pray for. Pray that this church and all the other churches around the world to be filled with God's Spirit and full of love and compassion. That's all those people, the 75 people, just kind of all the little churches, that they would just be filled with God's love and full of compassion. Let's pray for three, or if you do want to pray for more, let's pray for 3 or more folks to find Jesus through this church, right? That we can invite and direct those who are lost towards Christ. That's one of the main reasons we exist as a church. Let's pray for these new shared seconds, these new groups that we're starting, for community and love to be tangible in the groups and adventurous mission to be done in Christ. You can pray for the finances of the church. That's the really exciting one to pray for. You can pray for the finances of the church. And then if you wanted to, you can pray for all the children in our kids' ministry that Jesus would fill their hearts with his love and with his truth. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
So let's just take a few minutes, just kind of the folks around you, whether it's 2, 3, 4 people, just pick one to pray for. It doesn't got to be super long. If you're really uncomfortable, you don't have to, like this again, this isn't, you know, you don't have to do it. But if you're comfortable, just pray out and lead out in a little bit of prayer. And then I'll close us in prayer, and then we'll have a little bit of space and time to come take communion together. Very good? Okay, let's go.